The sermon you are about to hear was preached by Dr. Bob Gray Sr. from the pulpit of Longview Baptist Temple, where he pastored the greatest soul-winning church of our time for over 29 years. Through the course of his ministry, over 1 million souls were led to Christ. And now, here is Dr. Bob Gray Sr.
I want to talk to you this morning about the subject, the answer to tears. The answer to tears. I hope that you'll listen carefully. And by the way, you can just put your pens up because there's no points. I'm not going to give you any. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm just going to take Psalm 126 and verse 6, and I'm going to hammer on it for a few minutes until it finally becomes a part of us. But I want to talk to you about the answer to tears. Father, help me to help. I want to be a blessing. I know some of the heartache. I don't know all of the heartache. I don't know all the burdens. I don't know all the challenges that these folks face. But I know the Word of God is eternal, and you've given it to us to help us while we live this temporal life. And so, Holy Spirit, talk to us this morning, please. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Look this way. Listen carefully. Hold your place there at Psalm 126 and verses 5 and 6, and then look this way. The phone rings. There's weeping. The person on the other end of the line tells of a bad doctor's report. The loss of a baby. Being forsaken by a husband. Being forsaken by a wife. The screeching of tires. Clash of steel. No feeling from the neck down. You find yourself in intensive care. The tears begin to flow. Divorce papers are served suddenly. A child is mauled by a dog. Financial disaster has come. And on it goes with life. Please listen carefully. I want to give you the best help possible when tears come. The answer to tears. I'm talking about when you have a heartache. I'm talking about when you have a heartbreak. I'm talking about when you have a setback. I want to help you. So I hope you'll listen carefully. I want you to write one word down and then look at me. Write down the word sympathy. The word sympathy. Is sympathy the answer? And I want you to put a question mark behind sympathy. Is sympathy the answer when something like this happens? No. I believe sympathy is very important. But the truth is, sympathy only lasts for a while. Once the sympathizer is gone, the sympathy goes with them. Please don't misunderstand me. I believe in sympathizing with people, but it's only a temporary aid at best. Sympathy is the temporary paramedic, if you please, which can help until permanent help arrives. Hold it. I'm talking about the temporary paramedic called sympathy. I'm talking this morning about we need permanent help, not temporary help. If you're not having a heartache or a heartbreak, you will one day. So let me help you. Just what is this supreme comfort? What is the answer to tears? What is this ultimate help? What is this permanent cure to heartbreak? What is this permanent cure to heartache or setback or defeat? To answer this, we've got to explain the scriptures that we read a while ago. You know, sometimes we often, you know what we do? We read the Bible too fast. And we read it too fast, nothing seems to fit, and we don't get anything out of it just because we just read it too fast. Too quickly, too carelessly. Now take a look at verse 5 and verse 6. They that sow, circle the word sow. They that sow in tears shall, circle the word reap, shall reap in joy. Verse 6, He that goeth, circle the word goeth there. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing, circle the word bearing, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, circle this again, come again, circle those two words, come again with rejoicing, and then circle the word bringing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, we have often said it this way, they that sow tears shall reap joy, but it doesn't say that. On the surface, when you quickly read it, you think that's what I said, but it doesn't say that. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. It does not say if you cry a lot, that means you're going to be happy a lot. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. Otherwise, some of you would be hysterical this morning. That may be true, but that is not what this verse means. It does not mean that they that sow tears shall reap joy. Or it does not mean that they that sow the seed of tears, listen to me now, shall reap a harvest of joy. Verse 6 does not mean that. Okay, let's read verse 6 again. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The constant in this verse is this word, and I want you to write this down, the word work. The constant here in this verse is the word work. So write down the word work and put an exclamation point behind it. The word work. Yes, the word work is not found here, but it is an unseen constant in this verse. Sowing is work. Reaping is work. And the theme of this verse is not tears. The theme of this verse is not joy. And the help that comes from this verse is not tears. And the help that comes from this verse is not joy. The theme here and the help here comes from the word work. The constant here is that word work. Both sowing and reaping are work. Have you ever worked on a farm? You know what I'm talking about. Sowing is work. Pulling the weeds is work. Reaping the harvest is work. So here it is. Keep working when crying. Write that down. Keep working when crying. Keep working when weeping. Keep working when tears are shed. Now, hold it. Verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. They that keep on sowing while in tears, they that keep sowing when weeping. It doesn't mean if you cry a lot that you're going to shout a lot. Hold it. That may be true, but it is not what's being taught here. Verse 6 is saying, keep on sowing while you are weeping. Keep on teaching your Sunday school class while you have a broken heart. Keep on going soul winning while you have a burdened heart. Don't let the financial burden cause you to sit down and have a pity party, because God says that is not the answer. Now pause while you holler amen. Keep on working the bus route with a heartache. Keep on going to church with a heartbreak. Keep on praying with a burdened heart. Keep on reading your Bible when that setback comes, whether the husband leaves you or the wife leaves you or the job is lost or the health is lost or the clashing of steel on the highway and the loss of feeling. You know, I went to the hospital to visit Dow. He was talking 100 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour. And he was talking about the soul winning and getting people saved. He wasn't talking about his accident. He was so concerned that we pick up his convert this morning and get him to church. That's all he talked about. Talked about how that guy got saved and how he called him back and got born again, and he was excited. And he said, he wasn't concerned about being paralyzed. He was laying there saying, preacher, you got to get my convert. You got to get my convert here. And so it was his concern. You know what his wife was doing? She wasn't sitting in a corner with her head in her hands, weeping and bawling and squalling. No, she was getting a towel, putting on her husband's head. She was busy helping the nurses and walking around, being encouragement to her husband, laying there paralyzed. She wasn't bawling and squalling, having a pity fit. What was she doing? She was obeying what verse 6 says that you're supposed to do when a burden comes. Your falling apart doesn't help anybody. You're sitting down and feeling sorry for yourself and having a big party and wanting everybody to come and talk about all your problems is not what God said we're supposed to do when the heartache comes. And is anybody listening to me this morning? When the heartbreak comes, that's not what God says we're supposed to do. God is saying, keep on working while you're weeping. keep on working while you're shedding tears. So it means keep working while weeping, keep working while shedding tears, but it also means this, keep rejoicing. And also, while you have the joy, then also keep working. So whether it be, there's two most prevalent times when God's people quit working. Write this down. Number two, when sorrow comes. When sorrow comes. Most people sit down and quit when sorrow comes. Do you know folks are still dying and going to hell? Hey, girls, listen to me now. Do you know folks still dying and going to hell? Do you know folks are still hungry and need to be fed? Do you know that folks, these bus kids still need clothes? They still need help. Some of them need to be in LBA desperately off of our buses so they can get a Christian education. There's a lot that must be done. You can't sit around because of your burden, but some people do. What causes people to sit down, to quit? Sorrow. But number two, a second thing, when success comes. Not only when sorrow comes, but when success comes. God is saying, keep sowing while you weep. Keep on reaping while you have joy. Do not let both extremes cause you to quit working. Look, folks, if you've built something, good night. Keep on doing what you're doing to keep on building what you built. Just because you have a setback, is anybody listening to me this morning? Just because you have a setback doesn't mean that that's it, that it's over, that God left you. And God said, no, that doesn't mean that. Why do we associate people with illness with sin? Charismatics do it all the time. I'm not going to do that. I believe Kathleen Davis that sat in this front row was in a wheelchair, one of the finest Christians in our church, even though she couldn't get up. I believe that Mrs. Richards, who came to our church in a wheelchair, never missed. That lady was a spirit. That wasn't sin. That called, no, God just said, I'm going to put you in the furnace and put you in the fire and so that the best can come out. And guess what happened? The best did come out. You got Paul back here, Cranford, who keeps coming to church. Never misses. He comes soul winning. He doesn't have two good legs and he's in a wheelchair. You folks got two legs, don't even come soul winning. If you've got a burden or a problem, keep on working, keep on working, keep on laboring. By the way, same thing with success. When success comes, you keep on working. God is saying, no matter what happens, keep on working. Are you forsaken by a husband? Keep on working. Have you been forsaken by a wife? Keep on working. Has a mother-in-law showed up and weep? Cry, bellow, pity party. Has she left? Rejoice. Hallelujah. Ashtala shanaha. The loss of a baby. Keep on working. The loss of a loved one. Keep on working. The loss of finances. Keep on working. Backslidden husband. Keep on working. Backslidden wife. Keep on working. Ill health. Keep on going. Keep on soul winning. Keep on building that bus route. Keep on building that Sunday school class. Keep on raising those children that God has given you. Keep on being a good mother. Keep on being a good wife. Keep on being a good daddy. Keep on being a good husband. If your husband has left you, your children need you more than ever. If those kids need that mama, those kids need that daddy more than ever. This is not the time to say, things are so rough. I don't know what I'm going to do, and sit down and cry and weep. God said, here, the answer is keep on sowing, keep on reaping, keep on bringing your sheaves, keep on spreading, keep on sowing the seed. That's what God said. Now, folks, I suspect that God knows more about how you all live than you do. I suspect, this is a shocker, that he's even smarter than Dr. Phil. You know what's amazing to me? Okay, don't smile. It's all right. I hope someday you stand up here and I'm... You know what's amazing to me is how all of these people can take Bible principles and teach them and everybody oohs and ahs. And they'll buy their book for $29.95. When you can get you a Bible, you won't have to keep buying the book of the month, belong to the book of month club, or watch Oprah or any of the rest of it. Come on, somebody help me now. Get your Bible down. God's the author of life. So, if your husband has left you, your children need you more than ever. These kids don't need for you to throw a pity party and weep and cry. They need for you to get up and go to work. Pick that trowel back up and go back to work. If you have a heartache, if you have a heartbreak, if you have a setback, you have a sorrow, you're shedding tears, those that you serve, those that you love, they need you more than they've ever needed you. I've been brokenhearted. You've been brokenhearted. I've had setbacks and you've had setbacks. I've been disappointed. You've been disappointed. But the answer is to keep on going. Hey, look at the results of those who quit working. Look at the results of those who kept on working. All you got to do is look at the result with the kids. All you got to do is look at the result with the bus route. Look at the result of the Sunday school class. Heartache comes into my life. My responsibility must be, and my response must be, keep on working. When heartache comes, keep on working. When slander comes, keep on working. When gossip comes, keep on working. When ill health comes, keep on working. Keep on working. Keep on. I must keep on pushing the soul winning here. I must keep pushing the big days and the campaigns and the building something for God and America for Christ. And I must keep traveling the nation trying to stir up God's people. I've only got so many days. I've got to give it all that I have. What's the answer? Keep on working. That's the answer. They that sow while they weep. That's what he's saying. They that keep on working while they weep. That's what he's saying. And on the opposite side, keep on working in times of joy. God is saying, don't let tears stop your work. Don't let joy stop your work. The natural tendency is to say, I guess I'll just step aside for a while until this sorrow passes. No, don't do that. That's not Bible. That's not what God said to do. When that sorrow comes, you keep on working. The answer to tears is work. The unsung hero here in these verses is work. Don't step aside. Step forward. While you are weeping, work. While you are crying, work. While you're lamenting, work. While you're hurting, work. While you're heartbroken, work. While you're down, work. While you're suffering, work. That's the panacea. That's the answer. That's what you're supposed to do, according to the Bible. According to the Bible. You know what you ought to do is you ought to put a smile on you. I wouldn't give the devil the pleasure of knowing he got me. Used to have a guy here, he's not a member here anymore, but he's in Dallas area now, I think, I hope. But he'd come by and see me once a year and list all the verses I misquoted. List all the things I did wrong. And he'd have a list. And I'd sit down in there and the secretary said to me, you don't have to talk to him. He don't ever say anything positive. Everything's negative. And I said, no, you send him in. And you know what it would be? He'd go about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, just ridiculous things. But then he would say something that was the truth. And you know, the Holy Spirit would pierce my heart. And I would circle it there, and I would say as soon as this guy leaves, I'm going to get on my knees, ask God to forgive me for that. I'm not going to do that anymore. But you say, did you let him know? Of course not. I wouldn't give him I still got pride. I wouldn't let him know, not for a second. You know, there's something in us. You play football and somebody hits you real hard and you get up and you're not about to let that guy know that he hurt you. So you smile while you fall over. Your helmet's cracked and you smile at him and say, you didn't hurt me. Have you ever boxed? Have you men ever boxed? Man, I boxed a little guy one time. The first time I ever boxed in phys ed, a little bitty old guy. In fact, we lined up and we were pairing off. And so I looked down. I picked the smallest guy I could find. And I got back in line. So it was our turn. I didn't know he was a Golden Gloves champion. That guy beat the living snot out of me. I mean, I had blood flying, mucus flying, tears, everything in the world. I mean, he hit me 4 times before I could figure out what happened. And dance around there like that. I was taught not to dance. And just peppered me. But wait a minute. You know when it was all over? You know what I said to him? You didn't hurt me. Oh, man, what you talking about? Nose swollen, eyes swollen. You didn't lay a glove on me. But somewhere in here, look, the devil cannot read your mind. He can only read your response. Don't give him the satisfaction of knowing that he's got to you. Boy, there's something missing in America. The grit, the crawl, to get back up again. I don't care what problems you're facing. I don't care what it is. Get back up on your feet again. The God of heaven says when sorrow comes, don't quit your work. Don't quit your working. Don't quit your Sunday school class. Don't quit your bus route. Don't quit your wifely duties. Don't quit your husbandly duties. Don't quit the rearing of those children. Don't quit the job you have for God. They that keep on working in tears, God said, you just keep on working, whether it's joy or tears. So God is telling us all the best help in the time of sorrow and the answer to tears is to keep on working while the tears flow, while the sorrow's there, while the hurt is there. Keep on working and don't quit. What do you think I've done these 25 years pastoring this church? You've only lately gotten bitter at me. There have been people through the years that have. I survived them and I'll survive you. You don't like it? Lump it. Do the best you can. But I promise you, after you're long gone in your bitterness and bond of iniquity, this preacher's still going to be winning souls, still keeping people out of hell. Why? Because I've got on my mind, I am not going to quit working. It's better than sympathy. It's better than a dozen roses. It's better than a telegram. It's better than a get well card, unless it's got money in it. Keep on working while you weep. Keep on working while you shed tears. Keep on working while you reap. Keep on working while you sow. Keep on working while, listen, I don't care if that class has gotten down to 2 and 3 in God's dear name. Get back up on your knees, off your knees. Stand back up on your feet. Get back at it again. Don't become a hermit when tears flow. Don't become a monk when tears flow. Don't become a recluse when tears flow. Accept sympathy while you work. Your work is your best therapy. Write that down. Your work is your best therapy. Say that with me. Your work is your best therapy. Say it again. Your work is your best therapy. Say it again. Your work is your best therapy. That's it. That's it. That's exactly what God is saying. I hope you remember that this week. I hope you remember it for the rest of your life. Do not sit down and feel sorry for yourself. Get back up. Get on your feet. You're not the first one that's ever faced this thing. You're not the first one's ever traveled this way. Get back up on. Get back to work again. The problem with most of you is you just fill up 18 inches of pew. Or 24 or 34. You're growing in the Lord. But you ought to get an AFC route. You ought to take your family, go soul winning together. Keep somebody out of hell. You know, I've said this for years. I think every Christian school kid ought to get a good cussing every week. I don't think mom and dad ought to do it. I don't think the principal ought to do it. I don't think the teachers ought to do it. But I think they ought to go out and go soul winning. And they ought to see the devil's payoff. I can still see Karen coming back weeping and saying, Daddy, Daddy, you got to go see this family. You wouldn't believe they got no food. They got no money. Daddy's a drunk. And go, you know what she was doing in her heart? She was saying, oh, when I get to, and I get ready to get married, I'm going to marry me a Christian man. I'm going to marry somebody that loves God. I'm not going to have my children caught in a mess like that. What was it doing? It was not, listen, I don't believe in isolation. I believe in insulation. I believe you ought to go soul winning. Get out there and see the devil's payoff. But when that heartache comes your way in God's dear name, you keep on working, keep on working, keep on working. The more you sit around and think on your sorrow, the worse your sorrow will become. You know that's true. You think about, you hear about somebody having a heart attack. Next thing you do, you got a pain in your chest. Next thing you do, boy, next thing you got to go to the doctor and get yourself checked out. Our minds, you know that's true about us. Our minds just run wild. Absolutely run wild. What you better do? Do something for God. What are you doing for God? What is your spiritual resume? Show me where you've worked for the last 10 years and who you work for. Show me your vocation. Show me your career on a resume. I want to see your spiritual resume. What is it that caused you to have to come to church? Man, somebody ought to be dependent on you. Somebody ought to be looking to you. Don't look so sad. You could get right with God and everything would be all right. Boy, they look sad. I'm going to turn around and preach to the choir. Oh, that looks worse. Your work is your best therapy. You cannot sit around. Go to work while you hurt. Go to work while you cry. Go to work while you weep. If there's ever a time to keep your mind busy, it's the time of sorrow. It's the time of heartache. It's the time of heartbreak. It's the time of hurt. It's the time when tears are flowing. If you've ever needed to stay busy, that's the time for you to stay busy. When you are grief-stricken, that's the time to keep yourself busy. One of the best things you can do besides going right on with your work when a burden hits you is to find someone else who has that burden and help them. You know something, if you can't pay your school bill, take $5 and put it on somebody else's bill. It would help a lot of you if you just start tithing. Some of the burdens you got is because you're just robbing from God. You're a God robber and God's not blessing you and you get yourself in trouble and you cause, a lot of it's just not a natural process, it's an unnatural process. It's an affliction that you put on yourself. I'm talking about teenagers who get paid for mowing a lawn, don't even tithe. girls, teenage girls that babysit and don't even tithe. You have a curse on you, and I promise you, you're not going to get out from underneath it until you decide to get right with God. But there's also those things that occur in your life, the accident that was not Dow Allen's fault, and the other things that occur in life, Mrs. Gray's health problems and RG and the loss of Katie. There are some things that we have nothing to do with that occur in our lives, and Satan is waiting for us to sit down, feel sorry for ourselves, and get somebody else to come along and feel sorry for us. God is saying in the Bible, get up. Get up. Get busy for God. What do you do for God? You ought to be an usher. You ought to teach Sunday school class. You ought to drive a bus or aim a bus. You ought to work the altar. You ought to work, be in the choir, the orchestra. You say, I can't sing. Neither can they. Get in the choir. Somewhere in here, I'm just saying neither sorrow or success should keep you from working. Tears, the answer to tears, according to the Bible here, is a word that's not even mentioned here, and it's the word work. Look, here's what life is. Life is like a roller coaster. It goes into the depth of sorrow, and what do? You keep on working. Then you pull out of it, and then you hit a real high. Anybody listen to me? Then you hit a real high. I don't like roller coasters. Ms. Gray took the kids one time to Six Flags over Texas, and she got on one of those loopity-loop rides, and she came back, and she told me, she said, it's not like when you were a kid. Somehow, when you're a kid, your stomach is attached. When you become an adult rider, one of those things, your stomach, Brother Hiles took the kids up to Six Flags. We preached on a Monday, and I said, I understand you went to Six Flags on last Friday afternoon. He said, yep, shut the schools down, went to Six Flags. And he said, I got stuck. Well, Bobby went in one of those tubes and got stuck. And they had to go up there and get their preacher loose. He was stuck and couldn't go down it. That's why I'm not getting in. I'm not getting stuck in no tube, I'll tell you that. But life is like a roller coaster. It's just, you hit a real low in your life, and everybody does. The tears flow easily. The pain is real. What do? Keep on working. Then what happens? You end up on top. Everything's going well. What do? Keep on working. God has an answer to our fatigue. He has an answer to our sorrow. He has an answer to what we're facing, and that is get back up on your feet. Get busy for God. Martha Duckett is still in her chair in that choir. Her husband should be leading the singing. Sorry. But her husband should be leading the singing. He should be leading the choir, not Brother Hitt. He ought to be the one that sings the solo. He ought to be the one that, but he's not. And God said, I've got to take him to heaven. I need him. And what did she do? Martha Duckett did not sit down and throw in the towel and say it's over. She's back on her feet. She's in the choir. She's got a job at the church. She's busy working for God. That's the answer for what you're facing. Brother Bob, I've seen others that have had sons born like RG was born, and they quit and you didn't. I've seen other evangelists. I know of an evangelist who lost a daughter like Scott did and who quit. I mean, just quit. Got mad at God and quit. But wait a minute, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for his kids today, and I know all four of them. Wouldn't give you 2 cents for them, all of them criminals. What happened? He wanted somebody to fit. Wait, please wake up. I'm going to come back here and slap you if you don't listen to me now. I got to quit saying that. Vernon Lovelady told me they played that tape in England, and somebody heard it, and they misunderstood it. And I cannot say that. I'll slap as thou facest. That's what I'm going to do. But wait a minute. Somewhere in here, you're selfish. You're saying, look, feel sorry for me. Come tell me how bad I've got it. Feel sorry for me. What about the kids? That's why Denise Dean, you're talking about admiring her. I admire her. Boy, she's those two boys. And Sherry, I admire you. My hat's off to you. These ladies in this church whose husbands have left them, forsake them. Listen, here they are at church. And they're raising their kids right and doing what's right. And others of you here this morning that I admire a lot, husbands whose wives have left them, walked off. You just keep on working and laboring. God said that's the answer. Now take a look at verse 5. He said, they that sow, is that work? Talk to me. Is that work? So, in what? Tears. So here's a guy working in tears. He's working in tears. Watch it. Shall what? Reap. Is that work? Have you ever brought in a corn harvest? Have you ever been out in a field? Have you ever brought the hay in? Reap. It's work. Sweaty work. Reap in joy. Now, he said, some got to keep on working while you're in tears. And sometimes you're going to be on a high. What do? You keep on working while the joy is there. You keep on working. You don't let the big day cause you to get sidetracked and admire it. You got to come back. Look, the test of this church is not on a big day. The test of this church is on an average Sunday. That's the test of this church. The test of this church is not when we have a giant day. The test of this church is an average Sunday like today. That's the test of your Christianity. That's the test of this preacher. That's the test of this staff. That's the test of the bus workers. Oh, my dear friend, keep on working on the down days and the big days. Keep on going for God. Look what he said. He that goeth, would you agree that's work? All right. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing, would you agree that's work? Bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again. Would you agree with me that's work? Coming back again. And rejoicing, bringing, would you agree with me that's work? His sheaves with him. The word that's not there but is there is the word work. That's the answer. That's the answer. That's the answer. That's the answer. When RG was born, I was in the hospital and Bob, and we met in the hallway and we embraced and we wept. Do you know where it was the next weekend? Soul winning. You know where it was? Soul winning. I was counseling in my office. The phone rang. I picked it up. And Scott said, the baby's dead. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I got in my car. I drove to the hospital as quickly as I could. And he was just walking the hallways weeping. I got on the elevator. The elevator came up. I think it was the second floor. Opened up, and there he was standing right in front of the elevator. He just collapsed into my arms. And these are my babies. I mean, they're not. They may be grown, but they're still babies. And I hugged my son, and he wept. He said, "The baby's dead. She's dead." Wait a minute. You know where he was the next weekend? He was out preaching. He was out preaching. Ezekiel's wife died. What did Ezekiel do the next day? He went soul winning. He went out and went soul winning. The real test, my friend, and the answer is not a pity party. The answer is you keep on working. You keep on working. You keep on working. Yes, do we miss Brother Duckett? Of course we miss him. Of course we do. Of course we do. And I doubt there'd be anybody ever fill his shoes. Nobody could. But wait a minute. What do? We sit around, build a monument, and sit around and feel sorry for ourselves? No, we can't do that. We can't do that. We've got to keep going. But let me ask you this. What would Brother Duckett want us to do? He'd want this choir here tonight. That's what he'd want for practice. He'd want this orchestra at practice. That's what he would want. Don't tell me you're feeling sorry because he's gone and then won't work for what he worked for while he was alive. Amen. Come on, somebody help me now. Dr. Jack Hiles is dead. He's gone. He's my preacher. I miss him, but I can't sit around and feel sorry for myself because I got nobody to call to ask for help. I can't do that. I've got to continue to work. That's what he would want. And that's exactly what we've got to do. What's your heartache this morning? You've got one. You've got one. If not, you will. You better remember this sermon. The word that's not there but is there is the word work. And I promise you, it'll help you. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question. Are you hurting this morning?